You are listening to a podcast from Raritan Valley Community College.
After watching that video, I can't do any of that stuff. And imagine, is there anybody that can? It's one of those things that when you came away from that video, what was the main feeling that you had seeing those people doing the undefinable, actually, I think, undefinable skill?
I want to do that.
I want to do that. I want to do something that's awesome, something that's that way. But what do you get from that? How do you feel when you leave it? You're going to do what?
Survive.
Maybe.
Get motivated.
Get motivated. I think that's a very good point. A little inspiration, maybe a little inspiration. And I think it's interesting when we talk to this group of people about getting out, vote, and getting involved, because you're here. You're the ones that are here. You're the ones most likely. You're probably part of that 6%. Of course you are. But what's the definition of leadership? And I'm not going to get boring on you. I'm not just going to lecture you. We're going to do some interactive things. But I just want to know, simple, what is it to lead? And it's not always good. It's not always good. Right? Talk Hitler. Leader. Not a good leader.
Yes.
Inspiring. Right. Inspire people to do what?
The bad thing.
Inspire people to do what? What he wanted to do, right? So what's the definition of leadership is getting people to,
follow.
To follow. All you got to do to be a leader is get people to follow, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, right? So when you're asked to get your friends to vote, can you get people to follow what you ask them to do? Basic definition of leadership is, can you get people to follow? Hopefully it's for good intentions. Doesn't always have to be. Speaking of attributes of leaders, what you were given when you came in is a little bit of a list. Take a look at it now if you haven't. And take a minute or two to just say, what do you think are the key attributes that leaders are supposed to have? 21st century or back to year zero? What was it that leaders demonstrate that people look for and look to as attributes of leaders? Now, this was done by a couple of leaders who do research on leadership. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people surveyed for it. Do you have the sensibilities of what it takes to be a leader? What are the attributes of a leader? So just take a look at that and come up with the top five, and we'll go over what those are.
So there's a right answer and a wrong answer?
According to this, it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of statistically what were the ones that came out in the population that was polled. Right, so the thousands of people poll, what do you feel are the attributes of leaders? And the top five, what we're going to identify with the top five. Can you identify what the top five are? Right. Kuz and Posner were the people that did this. By the way, I am Marianne Brosnan. I'm a professor here at Raritan Valley. I teach English composition. Some of you were actually in my class. I also had acted as an academic advisor and worked in conjunction with career services for a while. This past summer, I had the privilege of working on a special project where I met nearly 2,000 people who were in transition from job to job. So I was helping them with some career development, career management things. And I learned an awful lot about people this summer working with those individuals. In the room, I had butcher, baker, candlestick maker. I had people who didn't have GEDs. And I had people who had two PhDs in the same room. And it was really a learning experience for me to say, what do these people all have in common? And they had one thing in common. They wanted to find the next great gig in their lives, right? Prior to coming to Raritan Valley, I worked in a corporate setting. I currently work in a corporate setting as well as a consultant. I do a lot of development, professional development for people. One of the things that I did for one of my clients was develop leadership development, because that organization truly believed that that was really important for their people in that organization to have leadership skill. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that was about. Also did some work in other corporations around the idea of personal development in terms of career. So career development, career management, how you manage your career. So those kinds of things are the background that brought me here to you today. So a combination of my academic experience, knowing what students are looking for, and my corporate experience sort of gave me a little qualification to have Russell invite me in and give you what I know. Now, good thing for me is this is something that I truly love doing. Leadership is an area around which I really have a true passion, mostly in an academic environment where I'm helping people develop as leaders. And so I'll share with you what I know, and hopefully some of it will be interesting to you. Not every bit of it is going to be interesting to you, so take what you like and leave the rest. Also, don't forget, Some of you have been through other, how many of you have been through some formal leadership training through some of your other academic, whether it's here, some of you have been through some training. And you know you're going to hear some very similar things. It's not the end of the day as far as leadership training. You're going to continue to learn and continue to grow. You may hear some redundancies. Good. If you hear something twice, what does that mean? Learning again is probably true, right? You're hearing something three times, probably a good idea to know. Right, I'm hearing that again. Oh, you know what? Somebody really thinks that's important. That really is one of the tenets of leadership that I should hang on to. Not only that, I should pass it on to people that I care about, who care about leadership as well. Those things. All right, let's take a look at the survey. Okay. Survey says, oh, let me give you, you didn't have one of the voting ones? Is it? That's yours. That's yours. Okay. Do you have another blank?
One of these?
The blank ones, yeah.
They're all in the back.
Oh, yeah. Dia doesn't have one. Anybody else not have one? Oh, you don't have one, Russell? Okay. Make sure you do. At any time, kindly, you know, if you have a question for me, please don't hesitate to ask. Happy to share any answers I might have. One of the things that I love about being in an academic environment is that I have the basic tenet that I don't know and you don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. That's why I have to keep an open mind, and that's why I ask you to keep an open mind. When you do find out something that you're very sure of and you know for sure, then be confident about what you know. So if you know something for certain, you can use that to your advantage. But if you don't know what you don't know, you keep an open mind and find that out. But there's always something that you don't know. And there's a good chance you don't know it. I don't know what I don't know yet, right? That's why you have to keep learning. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is very important in the academic environment. I haven't given that to anyone yet. Okay. All right. What do you think is number one? Let's have some answers about what you think was the number one answer about, or one of the top five. Yes, so just tell us your name.
Chris.
Honest. Honest is one of the ones you think is top five. How many of you thought honest was one of the top five? It was, in fact, number one. Number one. How about that? And given a time when people go into jail for being dishonest in corporate environments, it's kind of an interesting thing that that's what people really want to see in leaders is honesty. Okay, another one that you might think is in the top five. And just say your name for us.
John.
Forward-looking. Anybody else have forward-looking? Okay. Forward-looking, number two. Okay. Other. Other ideas for the top five. And your name?
McCall.
Inspiring. Inspiring, number three. Did you hit the cheat sheet? No, you didn't have this? That's number three. And I think the idea that this film that we saw today was inspiring, the idea that by the end I looked around the room and some of the people in the front of the room were paying attention, and then by the end it really did grab the back of the room. Eventually it was something that really did get attention and was inspiring. So the idea of inspiration is, you know, one of the attributes that's key to leadership. Yes. So far, three for three. You guys are doing great. Anyone else? Yes, Josh.
Competent.
I feel like you guys saw the cheat sheet. That's number four.
Wow.
That is number four. You did not see it. I have them in my hand. What an amazing group. You guys really do have a good sense of leadership. I'm glad to hear it. That's amazing. So far, honesty, or being an honest leader, was 83% of the people polled, so that was number one. 62% for forward-looking, 62%. 58% for inspiring, 67% for competent. Or that, it looks like that's a little out of order for numbers, but they're among the top five. Okay, it was number four in my list. Importantly, when I talk about people who want to change careers or get into a career, et cetera, there's a lot of information about what exactly it does take to get the kind of job that you really want. And Forbes did a wonderful article. I shared it with my folks this summer, and there were three attributes that allowed people to find the work that they wanted. Three things, just three things. And I want you to take this away with you today. I think it's helpful if you talk about leadership and getting to the place that you want to go. Number one was competence. Are you competent to do the job? So the idea of what are you good at, and are you really good at it, and do you know that you're good at it? Number one was competence. And number two, I think, is really critical. I thought this was so important. Do you love what you do? Right? Do you love what you do? Now, competent at something you love to do. And I think that's so important. Like, oh, do what you love, the money will follow. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. If you're an actor out of work or something, I don't know. But number two is, do you love it? Because when you go into a job interview, you go into a place where you've got to communicate, you want this work, they want people who like what they're going to do, not just collect a paycheck or just want to go to the top to be a power-hungry person, or are you going to love that? And so you have to communicate that love for that. And I hate the word passion because I think it's overused. Stop using it. It's hackneyed. It's like so 2004. But do you really, really love what you do? So pursue something that you're going to love and care enough about to take you into whatever space you're going to do, okay, whatever space is going to take you. All right, and the number three thing, and I think this is critical too, I think it's very critical. Yeah, are you good at something? Are you really smart? You hit the books, you got all A's. Number two, is it something you really love doing? And can you communicate? I love doing this. This is what I love to do the most. And number three is, can we stand working with you? Can we stand you? Right? Number three, can we stand you? So you might be the smartest kid in the block and you really love what you do, but if you're intolerable, personally, people can't stand being around you, no job for you. They'll take the guy that they want. After an interview, I know some of you may have been in the workforce, what do they usually say? Three people are interviewed, but they say, candidate number one, how do you feel about them? After they're done, they're competent, seems to like what he likes, he's doing what he likes doing. What's the next thing? What do you say about the guy? Just generally, what comes out of your mouth? I like him. He's likable. She's likable. I want to be with her every day. I got to sit next to her. She's in the same office. I like her enough. So the idea is that people who are not terribly humble about their work, who are arrogant in some fashion, who don't have interpersonal skill, for whatever reason, these things are the things that can keep people from finding work, no matter how competent they are, no matter how much they love their work. If people don't want to work with you, no, you're not going to get that job. Right? So those three things that I tell people over and over again, just that simple formula is things that can have move you ahead, just about that. Okay, let's find number five. What's another one? And if you get this, I'm really thinking you stole the cheat sheet. Somebody that hasn't answered yet. Yes?
Broad-minded.
Well, that was a little bit further down, but fair-minded was number five.
Fair-minded.
Okay, so broad-minded, you have to keep an open mind, but people want to be treated fairly by their leader. So fair-minded was number, was in the top five. Those were the top five. Honest, forward-looking, inspiring, competent, fair-minded. Right?
How about self-control? Self-control
was down near the bottom, actually, because it was not the bottom of the list, but of this list of attributes, it was only 13%. And importantly, where do you see brilliant or intelligent? Right? It's not one of the top five. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be those things, but it's not necessarily the attribute that is one of the top five for leadership when it talks to what the top five leadership qualities are. Okay, so further on down the list, I would say at the bottom five I'll give you was independent, self-controlled, loyal, ambitious was not one of them. That was like in the lower. These are all under 25%, and mature. So those are things that fell towards the bottom. I'll leave the rest of these statistics at the table for you to take when we leave, and so you can see what the rest of them are. But I think you did remarkably well picking out the things that were the top leadership attributes. So good for you. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about basics and other kinds of things related to the leadership of the 21st century. Josh, I ask you if you wouldn't mind just passing some of these things out. Passing those. Yeah. Yes?
May I ask you a question?
Sure, please do.
I know that intelligence isn't on the list, but wouldn't that also fall into competency?
I would think so. They had intelligence separate from competent. For example, if somebody is trained in execution, if they're executives and they execute, maybe they're very skilled at that execution, but maybe they don't have any other kinds of intelligence in it. Maybe they know just that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess intelligence to me is a little broad, because you could be skilled and intelligent in one subject and not be skilled or intelligent in another.
Yeah. So you were questioning the attributes that were on that list that aren't they kind of overlapping, et cetera?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm going to tell you is one of the things I'm going to do today is give you a mini bibliography. And I sat and put this bibliography together. I pulled together books that I thought were inspiring to leaders. Some of them were not written in the 21st century. That doesn't mean they're not good books and that they're not inspiring, that they don't have good information in them. I do have some books that are from the 21st century that address things that are going on right now. But one of the books that I give you is the book that was written by these people that did this survey. And they had done this work back in the late 80s, and they just reissued a book 30 years later for some contemporary look at leadership, et cetera. So that leadership series is going to be available to you in the bibliography for you to further check out. Why did they choose those attributes? There's a little bit more information around the study, so you can get some information to the back of that, Crystal. Hopefully that'll be helpful. Like, why did they have intelligence? Why did they combine competency and intelligence? And it will explain that survey a little bit more in detail for you. Any other questions at this moment? Okay. In front of you should have now this worksheet that I have, Leadership for the 21st Century, and in the next half hour or so, we're going to kind of work through this together. And the first thing I want to ask of you is, do you know what it takes to just be a basic leader? What are the basics? What are the very, very basics? And I'm going to give you some of this and other things you're going to work on yourself, but I give you my basics, and anybody who's been in my class, I say the same things. I used to have three things. I've increased it to four. And number one is something that you've all done today. And that's show up. Show up. Do you know that people come into my class and I lose about a third of a class every semester because people just simply don't show up? You got to show up. So when you tell yourself, I'm going to show up, whether it's to your work, with your friends, your family, to your career, to your studies, whatever it is, you got to show up. Number one, right? Show up. Now, if you can't show up because you have too much on your plate, I have work, I have family, I'm sick, I have activities, I'm getting distracted, well, you got to look at the plate and say, why can't I show up for the things that I've deemed important for me? So really, when things show up, it seems like a simple thing, but it makes you examine, if I'm not showing up, why don't I show up, right? What keeps me from showing up at my best in all arenas that I choose to go into? Right? Sometimes there's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You're going to get to go on a trip or something, but you've got all this work to do. Oh, but I'll never get to go on this trip again. There's a lifetime full of once-in-a-lifetime choices to make, and sometimes you have to make those tough choices to show up in a place that's more important than not, even if you think that once-in-a-lifetime trip is going to pass you by. That's probably true for that occasion. There'll be other occasions that are just like that, once-in-a-lifetime. So you have to be able to pick and choose what goes on that plate and what am I going to show up for. And you can't show up for everything. Do you know that person who tries to be every place and everything to everybody and they don't do anything well? Because they aren't picking and choosing what they show up to, right? So the idea of showing up isn't just simple, come, be as you are. It's a matter of choosing what you're going to show up to. But you have to show up when you do. Right, so number one, show up. Number two was very simple, pay attention. Right? Pay attention. When I looked at the room when I first came in, some of the part of the room was closer to the front screen and they could pay attention to what was going on. The back room was engaged in their conversations, but eventually there was some paying attention, right? The idea of what's going on, pay attention. You can miss so much if you don't pay attention. Now, I'm looking back at some leadership things, but I also said, all right, I'm going to talk to some students about leadership today. On something current. What's going on? Well, there I go. I go online and say, what's current right now? Well, the coach of the Giants who won 2 Super Bowls, he just wrote a book on guess what topic? Leadership. Yeah. Right? Do you know who that is? Do you know what the book is? Are you familiar with it? Good. Are you familiar with this book? Tom Coughlin's book. I put it on the list today because I said, you know what? I've got to pay attention. I've got some stuff that's, from another time and things that are more recent, but I want something that's right now. And so I had to go pay attention. What's right now? Right, so I add that to your bibliography as well. So number two is pay attention. Okay, show up, pay attention. Number three, another very simple tenet, do the work. You got to do some work, right? Every leadership book I look at, every leadership guru that I talk to talks about, it doesn't come for free. It doesn't just show up because you're talented. You have to do some work, right? There's always work involved. Anybody read Outliers? You know the book Outliers? It's a great book. It's a great book, and it's on the bibliography. And one of the things it talks about is how do people become great? What are the success attributes that make people really, get to do those flippy book things and go through that hoop? What do you think it takes? What do you think it takes? A lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of practice, right? A lot of practice. They say in this book, the Outliers book, and that's on the list, is takes 10,000 hours to get really, really good at something. The difference between a really good piano player and a virtuoso is the practice. It is the hours put in. The hours put in. That's the difference. Yes? Outliers. It's on the bibliography. Yes, I have it all on the list. Yeah, it's Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah, it's Malcolm Gladwell. He wrote some good things. And they're easy reads. That's not a tough read at all. But real insightful. What does it take? Practice work. It takes the work. That doesn't mean just because you put your shoulder into something that it's going to make you brilliant or an expert, etc. You got to choose the right things, right? You got to choose the things that are going to be advantageous for you. So again, some good thinking that goes into not just the simplicity of do the work, but do the right kind of work, right? And put the time in that's appropriate, not wasted time, work smart, etc., etc. Okay, and the last one, show up, pay attention, do the work. And the last one, I added this, because students would come into my class and they would show up and they would pay attention, they'd do some work. But one of the frustrations, the reason I ended up going into advising was this. They didn't know why they were here. They didn't know why they were here. They were purposeless. It was my mom, my dad wants me to, I'm here because I couldn't think of anything better to do. So the idea of why are you here? What's your motivation? What motivates you to choose the things you're choosing to do? Understand your own motivations. Now, there's another book on the bibliography that I love. It's called Drive. And it says, what drives people? understanding how humans operate, you're going to work with humans, right? Everyone's going to work with humans. Maybe you can work with animals, but along with animals, you work with humans, I'm sure. But the idea of what drives people, what motivates people, you want people to follow?
Yes.
You got to understand what makes them follow, what motivates people. You have to understand that basic tenet of what makes people move, what motivates people, including yourself. How much think you're going to be able to sustain a career or choices if you're not motivated to do it? Now, what is it that makes you do it? So I think that those are the four basic things that, just the start of how is it that you develop as a leader, you show up, you pay attention, you do the work, and then you know why you're doing it, that you understand your own motivation. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just take a couple minutes. The next block there is about motivation. Why are you here? Why did you pursue this? What's in it for you? What's your motivation? So I'd like you to just think about that for a minute. Why are you here? Whether it's in school or at this conference today or why you do whatever it is that you do. Why are you choosing to do it? What's your motivation? See if you can put some words around it. I'm going to ask you to share with some of your immediate people around you. So put down some ideas that you care to share. All right. Has everybody had a chance to share at least one of their motivations for being here? I'm presuming that many of you know one another, and if you don't, you just had a chance to maybe meet some new people here. One of the things that I think is important for any leader to do, and for any individual to do in their lives, is to do what you just did. And I loved when the people that weren't watching the video when they first came in, they were doing exactly this. There's a wonderful book called Howard's End. Of course, it's a piece of literature. Being an English teacher, I have to throw a piece of literature in there. And the theme of that book is just connect. The idea of connecting with others. We don't live in isolation as humans. We're connected to others. And the more connected to others you are, the better chance you have of understanding them and yourself. So the idea of connecting with others is truly, truly important to being a leader, I think. One of the tools that we have now out there is a lot of electronic media. How many of you know this thing called Facebook? You guys know about Facebook? Right. That's out there. Now, there is a professional tool. There's a professional tool that is Facebook for grown-ups. Anybody know what that is?
LinkedIn.
Yes. LinkedIn. How many of you have LinkedIn accounts? How many of you don't have LinkedIn accounts? Okay, those of you who don't have LinkedIn accounts, go on out there, take a look. You don't have to jump in unless you see what you like. Look for other RV students and see how they portrait themselves out there on LinkedIn. It's a way people connect with one another. More jobs are found on LinkedIn today than almost any other means. So the idea, if you're looking for a career, it is a way to connect with other people. You can go see the profiles of leaders. You want to see how a manager profiles himself? You can find out people out there. You're going to connect with friends, neighbors, maybe some of your professors, people that they know. And you'll see how people have advanced their careers, and you get portraits of them. You get their resumes right there for you. Talk about a roadmap. Talk about learning. Now, here's somebody who has a career that you would like. There's their roadmap. It shows you the exact path to where they are, right? What could be better than that? So there's a lot of information on LinkedIn. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool. Go explore. You don't have to jump in, but go explore it a little bit, see if you can find other people to give you some guidance on LinkedIn. Right? It's not a bad thing to know about. The idea of connecting. Okay? And I saw some people shaking hands, saying hello. Make sure that you do connect with people that you meet that are new to you so that you can advance your connections that way. Okay. What are some of the reasons? I'm going to ask you to tell not your reasons, but tell me if you heard the person you were with, like who had a good idea at your table, why they're here, that maybe inspired you. Yes.
She was like curiosity, which I thought was great.
Oh, and what is her name? Sabine. Had you known Sabine before today?
No.
Good for you. Okay, so you have now a new connection. And who knows where Sabine will, I tell you, I have connections that go back, I'm not going to tell you how many years, but connections are not bad. They're really, really, really nice to have. She came here out of curiosity. Right? There's an attribute of a leader, right? I'd say never lose that. Never lose that. And I think that's the fountain of youth, right? If you maintain that curiosity. What's this all about? When am I going to learn something, maybe something new that I didn't know? Other reasons that you might like to share, people other than you. Yes?
Well, it was common at the table.
Okay. You have a trend.
We all wanted to learn something new for self-improvement. And the other idea that we have, we all wanted to share whatever we learned with other people.
Okay. All right, so the idea already of taking it outside this room and giving it to others, what a great trend of leadership, right? Giving it to others. And I think there's a lot of community-minded people here. The idea of giving to others is certainly one of the tenets, right? So I think that that's a very valid, wonderful reason to be here. Others? Yes?
Well, I'm running for SGA Vice President, so it's good to know how to be a leader. And so this is a good place to learn the basics.
So here you have somebody who has interests and ambition, and they want to find out some of the details that are... That's your reason. How about... your person that you're with. What was her?
Same thing.
Oh, you had a mutual,
yeah.
And you found each other. No surprise, right? Any other motivation? Yes.
Okay. My name's Farida. There we go. Well, she said that the reason why she was here was like to every step counts in life, so she figured coming here would help towards, you know, what she does later on in the future. So I like that one. When she worded it, I just had to ask her again how she worded it.
How's it working for you so far?
It's working pretty well.
All right. I'll take that as a vote of confidence. And how about your partner here?
Well, like everybody else, but it was hers that she was like, oh, I find an interest in leadership skills, but she just wanted to develop on that more. You know, she knows a little bit already.
Okay.
Going ahead and reviewing, definitely.
And then checking and seeing, what else do I need to know? What else can I gain from this? Even though because in thinking you know it all, maybe that's not the way to approach being a leader. There's always a little bit more to learn, right? There's a wonderful guru, he's no longer with us, but it was somebody named Stephen Covey. Anyone know Stephen Covey?
I have.
Okay, right? Stephen Covey, one of my favorite, also on the list. He wrote a book called?
7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Highly Effective People. Yes. Outstanding.
Well, he has about 10 of them in his
shed. Outstanding. Wonderful, wonderful philosophy. Little bit deep reading, challenging reading, but outstanding. And one of his tenets, being a highly effective person, is sharpen the saw, right? You can't always cut through the wood if it's just the same old saw that hasn't been sharpened, right? You have to go back and get sharp. I think what you're here to do is sharpen your saw, see if there's something else that you could do to be even sharper at your skill, right? 7 Habits, very, very helpful, right? The idea of growing in your knowledge about leadership as a topic. You know, we had 40 minutes or 50 minutes today. You know, we're kind of doing a wave runner act, kind of skating across a lot of different topics. If there's one that's of interest to you that you want to explore further, certainly a bibliography is going to help you do that. Certainly the next area here is something that I think you need to do. You ask one another, why are you here? I asked you, why are you here? And you learned a little, didn't you? You learned there's something that's different I hadn't thought about. We have commonality here. I'm really interested. Someone knows something and still comes here. I love her philosophy that I'm going to take one step at a time and I'm going to grow as I go, right? So the idea of sharing, connecting with others, absolutely a trend of leadership. Just because a leader may be at the top doesn't mean that they didn't have other people supporting them, helping them grow as they got there, right? And it's not a matter of stepping on the people as you go, but learning from them as well. There's always something to learn. So I think that's brilliant. Power of asking is my next topic here. And I cross out the word Sears. Why do I do that? Anybody know where's the Sears Tower? Yes.
Chicago,
right? Tallest building in Chicago, kind of the equivalent to our Empire State Building, right? It's no longer called the Sears Tower. Anybody know why? Very interesting story, and I call this the power of asking, and so does the president of the company whose name is now on that building, right? New name on the building is called the Willis Tower. It's called the Willis Tower. The name is emblazoned across what used to be the Sears Tower. It's the equivalent of changing the name of the Empire State Building, right? How did his name get on? How did the name of that company get on the building? Well, they're negotiating the lease on this building, not even the purchase. It was the lease of some space in the building, and not even the entire building, just some of the space in the building. And in the negotiation, everything good here, negotiator said, well, you know, we'd like our name on the building. And they said,
okay.
Because they asked. They asked.
That's cool.
They asked, right? So I say, don't underestimate the power of asking. We had Crystal ask me a question. She challenged me. She said, you know, why didn't they combine these two ideas? So what she got was, you know what, there's more information about your very good question. Here's how you can resource that answer, right? The idea of asking questions of people that can help you out with information, don't be afraid to ask. The idea of asking is very, very powerful. Don't be afraid to ask. The power of asking, right? Sometimes it's awkward to ask because sometimes you have to admit, I don't know, right? So the idea of asking things is very, very important. And you come away with a little bit more information. I don't think that can help. Hurt. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Well, I was reading the other day about asking and how you should just do it no matter what because
asking.
You'd be surprised how many people will just, like, acquiesce, like, your request. They'll just say yes. Like, you'd be surprised how much you can get out of just asking people things.
Ask. And not to take advantage, not to abuse, but the idea of asking because, you know, what, you're in no worse shape than if you didn't ask, right? If the answer is no, you're in the same position than you. Yes.
People want to help.
People do want to help. So the idea of how can you access help, you ask, right? Now, if you're asked, if you're on the other end of being asked, certainly you'll be generous. But if you don't have something, you don't have time, whatever it is, you can make that that judgment at that time as well. But you be willing to ask others, be willing to have others ask you as well. I think that's kind of part of it as well. Okay, next, I think last time you had Brandon Heppard here, right? You talked about philosophy, and I think one of the tenets he talks about in his talk is usually about know thyself, right? I think that's one of the things that came out. Why are you here? I asked the basic, you know, why are you here? Ask yourself, why are you here? This takes it to another level, and I know he probably talked a little bit about it, but when it comes to being a leader, the idea of knowing yourself, I think, is really, really, really critical. I think that you may have had someone else here who talked about style, about leadership style, or maybe in the past past session. The idea of leadership style, knowing what your leadership style is certainly part of that. But I think that I want to take this a little bit into a deeper level. Define success with what your values are. So in other words, not everyone is going to be the same kind of leader. Not everything is important universally to everyone. Not everybody wants to be a CEO of a corporation. There's other kinds of leadership that you can attain. Maybe it's political leadership. Maybe it's leadership in a spiritual environment. Maybe it's leadership of your family. Maybe it's just leadership of yourself, right? There's different kinds of leadership, and you define your success in that leadership with what's important to you. So I would say, just for yourself, define one value that guides the choices that you make, right? When it comes to who you are, what value is important to you that will guide the choices that you make. And it's important to do this. You know, I heard someone say that they might be doing an internship this summer where they're managing people. There's a lot of philosophy around managing by values. What are the values of this organization? And that's what guides us. We go back to what's important to us. What is important to us? What do I value? I value my students passing. I value that they learn the writing skill that makes them functional in a work world and in a world where everyone has to communicate and articulate. That's a value of mine. That's why I come and do it. It's so important to me to teach people how to articulate. And that's why I teach writing. So what's important to you? What's a value of yours that will take you into the leadership kind of leadership direction that you'd like to take? What's important to you? What's a value of yours? Come up with maybe one or two ideas. Because these will drive you. These are the things that will motivate you. What's important to you? What's a value of yours?
For you to decide.
What's important to you? Yeah. So for me, it's important to me that I see students develop their writing skills. So my value is that I see others develop in that arena, one value.
Okay.
Yeah. That people succeed, that students will succeed. How do I get them to succeed? That's my value, one of my values. Okay, the next one is assess. And this is an important one because there's a lot of, they call them instruments that measure. And I don't know if you've ever done some of the measurement tools that say what kind of a leadership style you have. So I think that's something to be aware of. You know, we don't have, you know, time to do that here. But it is an important thing when you're going to know yourself as a leader. What kind of a leader am I? Right? So when you have the opportunity to pursue an instrument that tells you what kind of leader you are, you take advantage of it. One of the assessments that I suggest on the bibliography that I'll give you is something that says, what are your leadership strengths? What are your leadership strengths? And very, very important is that doing what you're good at is really where you're going to be successful, right? It isn't a matter of, like, sometimes we focus on what aren't you good at, try to get better at what you're not good at. And I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying you know you're a good speaker, then you get up and you speak. You know that you're a good organizer, then you be the organizer. I'm really good at making sure people have good communication, then you work that. That's what you're really good at, and that's what you'll become expert at. So it's the idea of assessing your strengths and knowing what your strengths are is really, really key. And again, not neglecting the things that you need some help with, but instead of putting hours and hours into stuff that you're weak at, it's taking what you're good at and really rushing it past the goal, right? Really making that what you leverage into your success as a leader. Does that make some sense, right? To leverage what you're good at. So what we're going to do is talk about a little bit about your strengths, but I do want to mention to you the tool that I am recommending is something called the Strengths-Based leadership assessment. And it says, what are your strengths, and how can you leverage those strengths into being the type of leader that will make you the most successful, the most efficient, the most effective? Right? So the idea of focusing on your strengths as a leader is really a very, very current 21st century approach to leadership. It's not get good at every single one of those things on that survey. It's saying get good at what you're a little bit good at that you know you can get even better at. So what do you know you're good at? Leverage that strength into your leadership style. Right? I think it makes a lot of sense. It's simple, isn't it? Just do what you're good at. Right? Doesn't that seem simple sense? But think about it. What are you going to lead to? More success, more success, more success in the thing that you're really good at. Just do it more and keep doing it more. And then you get known for doing that thing really well. And that's who you become, right? It's who, what you're already a little bit good at. As opposed to waiting, you know, spending time doing things that you know, may just be turning a wheel that doesn't advance you at all. Another thing about type. There are measurement tools about your personality type. Introvert, extrovert. Anyone know any of those tools? What are you familiar with? Myers-Briggs. Anybody else know about Myers-Briggs? Do you know about Myers-Briggs? Myers-Briggs. Russ, you want to just mention a little bit? How have you used it for yourself, or have you? What's your experience with it?
I don't remember all the questions right now, but it just helps you figure out how you learn, how you interact with other people, and how you. Well, you should go on because it's been a while for me.
Oh, that's sure. But, that's fine. Put you on the spot there.
Yeah, but whenever it helps put words to characteristics of yourself that sometimes you don't really never realized before. Like the first one is I and E, and people always think, oh, you're such a big extrovert. But it's really where you draw your strength from, and I'm an introvert, and I need to be by myself, to reflect, to have that quiet time. And people think, oh, but you talk so much. But that's sometimes draining. And I draw my energy more from inside than
right. And I'm just the opposite, where give me a crowd. You know, give me the microphone, because that's where I get my energized. I could not sleep and do this and be really happy. Home, alone, with a book, that's where I get energy, too, from reading. But other than that, it's a different, it's the energy is lower. The energy is lower. It's usually from meeting and interacting with people. And so knowing about yourself, I think that's truly important. But you're going to manage other people, understanding what motivates and drives in other people's personality types, not a bad thing to know. How do people function? What are their types? How does an introvert get energized? You got to leave them alone and give them time to energize. You can't always be on top of somebody who's an introvert. If you're an extrovert, that's not their style. Likewise, an introvert leader shouldn't leave an extrovert alone. They're going to maybe sit in a circle and spin their wheels as opposed to being on a team where the ideas can be generated, right? So the idea of understanding personality types, I think, is an important aspect of being a good leader. So it's not just your own type, but understanding others. Back to Covey again, one of his seven habits was seek first to understand. Seek first to understand what the circumstances are, what's going on for others. If you understand the circumstance, then you can make a decision that's an informed one. So understanding, I think, is really a key part of that. Understanding your type, others' types, assessing your own strengths, knowing what other people's strengths are. If you're leading others and helping them leverage their strengths, you're really good at this. We'll let you do this. Right? That's just an evidence of some good leadership. Okay, let's take a moment to say, all right, what do you know you're good at? What are your strengths? It could be academic. It could be personal. It could be outside some other arena. Maybe you can do one of those flips on a bicycle. I don't know what your strengths are. There's many different arenas. Anyone ever hear of multiple intelligences?
Yes.
Is it Gardner? And you're in education? Are you in education? And just tell us your name.
Yvonne.
Yvonne's talking about different kinds of intelligence, emotional intelligence, right? You have somebody that may not be, crack at calculus, but they know how to interact with people and they know how to get people to do things, right? So they have an emotional intelligence. Definitely an arena worth exploring. If you don't know about emotional intelligence, there's a lot of information out there on it. And that makes somebody a good manager to understand the emotional intelligence of others, right? So emotional intelligence. There's musical intelligence. There's physical intelligence. Those people that can do the backflips on the bicycle on ski slopes, they have a little bit of physicality about them. They have physical intelligence, right? There's mechanical intelligence. People that can take apart engines and be mechanically inclined. Artistic intelligence. All different kinds of intelligence. Where's your area of strength? Where are your areas of strength that you're going to leverage into the best leadership skill that you can possibly have? So do you have the worksheets? Okay. We're on strengths.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So come up with what you think are your top three strengths. if you're able to rattle those off real fast, maybe you do know yourselves a little bit. Sometimes you have to recognize and acknowledge, you know, what you're good at. I've always been good at writing, and I used to think, oh, everybody's good at writing, because I was good at writing. And then it came to me that, you know what, not everybody's good at this, right? It was a skill. It was a talent. I said, you know what, I'm going to let people pay me to do this, and I have ever since, right? Because it was a skill, it was a talent, it was a strength that I used and leveraged, and it makes me really happy to be able to use my words. And I just, it's one of those things, it's not that I don't know what I don't know, I know it. I know I'm good at it. Right? And that's where my confidence comes from. And I can lead in that arena because I know it. I know it's a skill other people don't have, and I'm confident in using it. So I want you to try to do that same thing. What are you good at? Know that you're good at. Have the confidence to leverage that into your leadership. Right? Why don't you have that same conversation? But you know what I'm going to ask you to do is maybe take yourself to the next table. Right? So why don't we maybe combine some tables so you can draw together so they can meet some needs. I want to have these folks come on over here. And why don't you two come on up here and share your strengths. And I'll let you guys go over there. Yeah. Just share your strengths with your table. Yeah. All right, it sounds like you had some good conversations. Very important, if you don't know what you're good at, how do you expect other people to know? And don't wait for other people to say, you know, you're a really good speaker, you know, come speak. You have to be able to identify your own strengths too. Now, if you have a challenge identifying your own strengths, it doesn't hurt to go to some trusted advisor, people who can help you, saying, why do you like working with me? What do you see as my strengths? You can ask other people, because sometimes that you're too close to it that you can't see what your strengths are. Did you know you're really good at this? So you can get the advice and the input of others to identify your strengths. But very good to say, not just it's good if a leader is this, it's I know I'm good at this, right? I own it. Because how will other people have confidence in your leadership if you don't? You have to have that. Think about it. Put yourself in that situation where you have to go and tell people, what are you good at? You have to be able to voice what you're good at. Let's go to the next one, and I think this is important. I call it stop it. Now, everybody wants to be a great leader. Everybody has that ambition, their interest, the curiosity, the willingness. They go to workshops. What might be in your way? What might be hurdles to your success as a leader? Whatever might be in the way of your being this kind of success you want to be as a leader, identify it, just like you identify your strengths. It's not a weakness, like I'm not good at math. It's one of those things that says, one of the reasons that I can't be the best leader is because I take on too much. I spread myself too thin. I run myself ragged. I can't be the best I can be. Just an example. Or I don't take on enough. I'm too shy. I'm afraid of failing. I have a block about getting up in front of people, and I let that get in my way when I know I can do it if I just made myself do a little bit of work around it. So it's not something I'm too afraid. I have fear. I have anxiety over things. What is it? What is in your way of being the kind of leader you want to be? And whatever that is, stop it. Right? You procrastinate, stop it. You talk too much, I'll tell you, I've met people who just talk too much. It's in their, I might be one of them. It is in their way. People avoid them. They don't want to talk to people who are volcano mouths. They don't know when to stop. And I have been told by other people that it is in the way of this person's success because people don't want to get engaged with the person because they don't know when to stop. What is in your way? What are roadblocks to your success as a leader? What might be some potential roadblocks to you? And stop it. Anybody care to share anything that, if it's too personal, you don't have to, if anyone want to care, what's in your way?
I'm argumentative.
Okay. In your way. So you figure that out. Yeah. You figure that out. You know, part of it is you always want to give different points of view, but if it becomes an argument, maybe that is in your way. Anybody from our back table here? Anything that's in your way you care to share? Your name?
Kyle,
okay. Time. So time is your enemy. It gets in your way. You don't seem to have enough of it. It's worth exploring. That's one of our nemesis is time management. Truly, a leader has to know how to do that. So it's one of those things that you have to get a handle on. Right? Yeah, leverage your strengths, but if that's in your way, you take a look at it. Right? You take a look at it saying, what's making me feel like I have too much on my plate? Something's got to fall off the plate. Some people have bigger plates than others. Some people can do so much. Maybe that's not you. Maybe your plate is medium-sized. Maybe you have a small-sized plate, but you can do three things really, really well, and one of them is be a darn good leader. But the other things are in your way of being the kind of leader you should be or can be, right? So I think that's a great one, Kyle. I think we all suffer from some of that. Yes?
Well, I mean, being in the 21st century, everything is open to you, like, everything that you can think of. So you have so many choices.
Yes.
And I think that when you have too many choices, then you don't make any at all because
that's right.
You can't focus on one.
Overwhelmed.
So I got to learn how to pick and choose.
Decision-making. Decision-making 101. Edit. We have to learn how to edit. Right? I think that's an important one as well. Okay, I want to keep, speaking of time, I want to keep on our time. On the back, I talk, and I just heard someone say, being a leader is a full-time job. One of the programs that I developed for one of my clients was on personal leadership. They paid me to develop a program so that each and every employee, whether they managed other people or not, had a sense of personal leadership, right? Because they wanted employees to be honest, you know, fair-minded. They wanted employees to be forward-thinking. All the things that were on that list that we talked about, that's what they want people to do in their own personal spheres, whether or not they managed or led other people or not. So it was a matter of personal leadership, right? Personal leadership. And yes, everyone is a leader of their own persons, right? So what I do on the back page here is define some arenas of personal leadership. Now, this is my definition. I leave other open for you. And here are some of the arenas that I think you need to develop goals, SMART goals. And I know other leadership programs, you know the idea of SMART goals. If you have never heard that, anybody never hear that word, SMART goal? Good, this is an informed audience. And so if you didn't, you know SMART is specific, measurable, actionable, et cetera, time-bound, and realistic. All right, for our part. So SMART goals. So you need SMART goals in each of these arenas. One might be what? Maybe you can even guess some of the ideas of personal leadership. I think that's in leading to this. Let me just give you some of them so you can have an idea of where I'm going with this. Work and financial. You need to have some goals around your work and financial life, right? But if that was all you did, you'd be a little bit of an imbalanced person, right? So that can't be the only arena that you have goals in and the only place that you demonstrate leadership in. Relationships, absolutely, whether it's friendship, collegial relationships, friendships, family, whatever. The relationship arena is something where you have to put some leadership into. You make the phone call, they make the phone call, you reach out, they reach out, you show up, you do the work of friendship, you know why you're in the friendship. Sometimes we have toxic friendships, and they don't belong in our life. You talk about somebody that eats up time, right? The Kyle talked about time. Maybe one of the things you have to stop doing is hanging out with a toxic friend. You know, that's in the way of your success. I mean, that's a hard thing to admit. You may have to edit. There's, you know, so much opportunity. You need to edit away from a friend that may be distracting you. All right, tough choice, a real tough choice, right? But relationships are important to your personal success and your personal leadership. Another arena of personal leadership, health, right? So the idea of eating and sleeping and doing healthy things for yourself. How do you be a leader if you're not a healthy person, right? If you're not healthy-minded, healthy-bodied, right? So the idea of health. Right? You talk about people who, I have an excerpt from Steve Jobs. You all are familiar with Steve Jobs, right? Head of Apple. Anyone hear his commencement speech or know his commencement speech? Anyone not know the commencement speech from 2005 at Stanford? You not know it? Okay. I have copies of it. It's outstanding. And here's a man, of course, who is facing his death. Things become very clear when you're facing your death. Things become crystal clear in terms of leadership and personal leadership particularly. And he tells three very poignant stories, and I'll share it, and that's for you to take home. Very inspiring from a leader that we know did quite well in his life. Okay. On YouTube as well, yes. I have the written I have the written transcript of it for you. Steve Jobs. Okay, so health, of course. Anything else? Other arenas? Yeah?
I'd say something to do with intellectual, like getting smart.
Yes, your intellectual pursuits and interests, right? So intellectual pursuits and interests. So your interest may be art. In fact, how many of you have been in the art gallery right next door to this room?
What?
Right? Art gallery, right? Why is your work in there? It's a fabulous little place. The idea of what are your interests? Do you have balance in your life in terms of personal leadership around pursuing the things that grow your intellect and your interests? Do you give enough time to that? Right? You almost can picture a pie chart where each one of these takes a slice, and are you balanced in each of these arenas of personal leadership? Okay, so we have work and financial, we have relationships, we have health, we have intellect and interests. Right, so that's others individually, career and financial, of course, managing your money. Another one, I think I heard some of the leadership here, is very interested in serving community. So how do you connect to your community at large? Right? Whether it's an intimate community of academics, is it a community that does some public service thing for your town, a larger community in your state, maybe a national effort that you might be involved in, whether it's voter registration or something like that. How do you connect to larger organizations in some fashion where you're involved as a leader in the community, even if it's just as a participant? It's taking leadership. I had a student who was interested in politics, didn't get elected as senator, whatever role that she was looking for, said, you know, you're interested in politics. Why don't you go ahead and work on a political campaign? Well, she ended up doing a political campaign, happened to be the victor this past fall, and learned a wealth of information, far more than she might have in a smaller environment. She broadened her pond and had an experience that was really very enriching for her. And she met some adults that are going to be mentors to her, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a wonderful thing to lose. So the idea of learning from adversity was really something that I think is very much making lemons out of lemonade. True sign of a leader. True sign of a leader. Okay. And last one, whether this appeals to you or not, is a spiritual arena. You don't have to have a spiritual identity. You might want a spiritual identity. Even if your spiritual identity is, I don't have a spiritual identity, is the idea of addressing that arena, saying, how do I connect to what is known as the spirit, and how do I, and what do I think of that? Just philosophically, even if it's just, you know. I'm sorry? Right? And whatever your philosophy is around that, it's just something to consider in terms of personal leadership. Right? Even if it's just, you know, I'm of the spirit of honesty and truth. I mean, that could be my spirit. I'm in the spirit that I don't know how I got here, but I'm going to take good advantage of being here. I'm glad that I'm alive. Whatever your spirit is. That's it. That's it. Here we are. And you had mentioned another personal arena of personal leadership. I heard some others that could, that you might suggest that others consider. Any thoughts? Okay. Yes. Any other thoughts on other arenas of personal leadership? Okay, because some of you had some other thoughts besides the ones. You don't have to go by mine. Those are just my arenas. I think they're good ones. Go. Advisors, that's the next section there. One of the things suggested I heard about developing leadership is the idea that you need advisors in your life, right? You need your own board of directors. Who's your board of directors? Who are people? Who are your go-to people in terms of advice, right? We don't live in isolation. Who are people you look up to? Who would you seek out? Who should you seek out, right? So the idea of who are your advisors, maybe name one or two people that are your current advisors, and maybe the objective is seek out other advisors in terms of your development. Who can give you good advice? Who can get you to the next step, right? And there's always people that have more experience than you. What are you going to do with them? You're going to ask. You're going to ask, I like to learn more about leadership. You're a leader I admire. What are three things that you recommend that I do to advance my leadership? I know I don't know everything about this topic, but I know enough to go ask some other people. And I know enough to tell you, go ask other people, right? So pick who are your board of directors. Maybe name one or two of your board of directors. Who are your advisors? Okay. I'm going to go to White Space Unplugged, and that is sometimes what you have to do is detach. Even though we have an active world, you have to find the places where you can get unplugged and that white space where you can do some thinking, right? So the idea of how can you unplug, right? So a couple of opportunities that you can name for yourself there. And the last one there is a quote by Peter Drucker, knowledge has to be improved, challenged, increased constantly, or it vanishes. I don't know everything about this topic. I have to keep seeking knowledge, right? The inscription on my high school is dedicated to those who seek knowledge. I'll never forget it. And I think that it was one of those tenets I pursued all of my life. I think learning is the fountain of youth. And there's still 99-year-old ladies still trying to play the piano to get it right. The idea that you can continue to learning the rest of your life, your brain does not deteriorate. Deepak Chopra has this whole thing about the super brain that's on my list, where the brain does not deteriorate if you use it. If you continue to sharpen the saw, as Covey says, if you seek learning, if you seek advisors to help you with that learning, connect with other people so you can improve your learning, I think these are the things that will advance you to the places that you want to go. The idea of exercising your intellectual curiosity. I don't know what that is. Tell me about that. Why did they put those categories together? I don't understand that. Help me understand. Asking the questions, etc. So let me give you this list of leadership for the 21st century, this biography. I hope you got a little bit out of today's conversation. I hope you felt there was some interest for you, and here's certainly other places you can go after our measly time together. I have some web references and some programs that are out there on leadership, and I also have some of those assessments for you. if you're interested in pursuing those. And I wish you all good luck, and feel free to be in touch with me for whatever you may need. I'm happy to connect. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You really inspired us and taught us a great deal. Marianne?